Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. More analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central. The day after the acquisition of Troy Tulowitzki, edition of Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening and viewing pleasure.
Hey, Jeffrey.
How you doing, Mr. Barker?
Good, thanks.
By the way, I sent out a tweet earlier this morning. We're trying to come up with a Twitter handle for Kevin Barker.
My
Twitter handle is SN Jeff Blair. Send it in. We're going to pick the best one. There's a real good leader right now.
Yeah.
Northbound and down.
And be nice.
That is the leader. So send in your suggestions for Kevin Barker's Twitter handle. Well, you know, I left primetime yesterday talking to Paul Jones. And I said, man, what a day it was. Troy Tulowitzki acquired. I mean, there were a ton of baseball deals made. And, you know, I get home and you kind of figure that's the end of the day. Then Devin Travis hurts his shoulder and is undergoing an MRI or already has an MRI today, has had an MRI today. We await the results. Jose Bautista pulls up, and when he does, your initial reaction, Kevin, probably the same as mine, was hamstring. And I'm just envisioning 3 months on the DL.
Yeah.
Jose Bautista has tweeted out since then that it was just a cramp and he wants everybody to relax. So the two things... kind of newsy things that came away from that game last night, Travis's injury and Batista's injury. Just that's an update on that, and we'll wait and see. We'll see later today what Jose Bautista's status is. Troy Tulowitzki, by the way, will be introduced to the Toronto media at 2:30 today. We are carrying that live in Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Is it on 360 as well? Do we know? I believe it's on one of them. We will confirm that, but we're definitely Brady and Walker, Greg Brady, we'll be walking you through that news conference. That is at 2:30 today. Troy Tulowitzki introduced to the Toronto media. I would presume he would be in the lineup tonight for the second game of the series against the Philadelphia Phillies. And Kevin, I don't even know where to begin talking about that game last night. Well, you know, first of all, let's talk about Devin Travis, because it's an aggravation of the shoulder injury that kept him out for a long time.
Yep.
The thing now is, with the trade of Jose Reyes yesterday, Devin Travis is probably the Blue Jays' best option as a leadoff hitter. Worst case scenario here, if Devin Travis, we don't think he can play tonight, but if Devin Travis is out for a while, where do the Blue Jays turn
for a leadoff hitter? I would have to think Pilar. That would be the next guy. I'm just not sure Carrera knows his swing well enough to be a leadoff hitter. You have to get some guys on in front of the three or four big guys. Kevin Pillar makes sense to me. He puts a lot of balls in play. He sees quite a many pitches. I think 3.5 pitches in at bat. That's not a whole lot, but that's enough to let the other guys see what a pitcher has. And I'm sure he's figured out ways to adjust his swing. He's made in-season adjustments, which is a very hard thing to do for a young guy. That means he knows his ability. He knows his body. He knows what he can and can't do at the plate. He has 15 stolen bases. He was second on the team behind Reyes. That's a big deal. I think you just have to put a guy in front of those three or four big guys that can get on and be a little bit of a pest to get better pitches. Even last night you saw Donaldson getting a 1-0 breaking ball, 2-0 breaking balls. You see Batista doing the same thing. That's different, because when Reyes was on first base, you never saw that.
Right.
The threat of him stealing. That pitcher was worried about him at first base. It just puts a different mindset in an opposing pitcher's thought process that other guys on this team doesn't have. And it is a big deal. It is a big deal to have that catalyst in front of guys that can hit the ball out of the yard, because it gets some better pitches to hit. And I'm not sure in this lineup and on that bench that they have that guy. The one guy doesn't stand out to me. And if it's one guy that has a little bit of speed, to me, it's Pilar.
Greg Zahn mentioned the possibility of Russ Martin going into the leadoff spot. This is something that Russ Martin did a little bit with the Dodgers. you know, Russ is 10 years ago, 8 years ago, I might say, all right, let's do this. Mm-hmm. But based on how beat up Russ Martin appears to be this year,
yeah,
I don't want to risk him out of the leadoff spot.
Well, the speed thing's not there, and I think he's more of a big situation guy. I want him trying to drive in 100 runs, not scoring 100. And, you know, you're getting the three guys in front of him. We're assuming three or four guys in front of him. He's going to have lots of opportunities with guys on base.
Now, the other thing, I thought of this last night, and I don't, you know, I don't pretend to know where John Gibbons and the Blue Jays are going to go. The other way they might consider going with Tulowitzki in the lineup is maybe you just move everybody up and either lead off with Donaldson or even lead off with Batista. I mean, you're not going to get a stolen base out of anybody anyhow. So lead off with those guys, and that way, for example, with Batista, you may squeeze an extra at bat out of him during the game. It's just a possibility. But, you know, Josh Donaldson hitting second, if he's not getting the benefit of having a leadoff hitter at the top of the order, then I might consider moving Josh Donaldson up there, and I may just go with the old logic. Who are my two best hitters? Those are the guys I want to.
The comfort level for Josh Donaldson's in the two spot. You know, your big guys, your superstars, I'm not real sure you want to be moving them. There is a big difference between the leadoff spot and the two-hole. Leadoff spot, got those guys go up and want to take pitches, let the other, you know, your entire lineup see what a guy's got. Besides Reyes. Reyes is a different kind of leadoff hitter because he's aggressive. But a lot of your leadoff hitters like to take pitches. They like to work the count. They want to let your team see the opposing pitcher. I'm not sure you want Josh Donaldson going up taking fastball down the middle first pitch when he doesn't have to. And he's comfortable. He's comfortable hitting in the two spot. I'm just not sure those guys you want to move. It's try and feel somebody else in. And the one guy that stands out, just because he has a little bit of speed, he's made adjustments this year with his swing. He knows how to do that. And you're going to have to do a little bit of something to change your swing. And to me, it's not Carrera. Mm-hmm. We saw it in the eighth inning last night, the three-pitch strikeout. You need to be able to know the situation, know what's going on, and you have to know your swing. And that's a big key component when you're leading off.
We want to talk a little bit about Jose Bautista's comments yesterday, but they've got to be put in context, and they also have to include a couple of tweets that Jose Bautista sent out, and we're going to do that after Pete Walker, the pitching coach of the Blue Jays, joins us at 12:15. But, Kevin, I wanted, now that the fallout from this trade has kind of it's kind of settled in. Just your thoughts on the deal now that we've had time to think about it and digest it a bit. And by the way, we should mention that a deal has been made in the past half hour or so. It's been reported by a variety of sources that the Miami Marlins have traded Michael Morse and Matt Latos to the Los Angeles Dodgers in return for prospects. I believe there's also international draft money going into that. Bob Nightingale of USA Today reporting subsequently that the Dodgers, Yankees, and Blue Jays are poised to have an all-out bidding war of prospects for the Tigers' David Price once the Tigers get the go-ahead. I'm going to say again, of all the rentals out there, David Price is the guy I would pay the most to get. But at this stage, if I'm the Blue Jays, I don't know if I want to get into that bidding. And I also wonder if you're the Dodgers. I know the Dodgers have a lot of prospects, but I also wonder if you're the Dodgers, now that you have Matt Latos, do you really want to go out for go out after David Price as well? The one thing I will say that may make the Dodgers aggressive with David Price, maybe more than any other team, is if David Price hits the free agent market next year, it stands to reason that the two teams that'll probably be bidding for him would be the Dodgers and the Yankees. So the Dodgers may think, if we get David Price in here, essentially it's like, if you get David Price, if you're the Dodgers and you trade for David Price, essentially you've bought, what, 2 months, 2.5 months of control of David Price. So no one can talk to David Price about a contract during that time. No one can make, you know, kind of backdoor overtures. Essentially, you've got David Price in-house for a couple of months. That gives plenty of time for your general manager to pick up the phone and call his agent. It gives plenty of time for the manager to work in David Price. It gives plenty of time for David Price to look around and go, hey, this is kind of cool, because remember this about David Price. So far, he's pitched in Tampa, small market, and he's pitched in Detroit, small market. Going to a place like L.A., it's a little, might be a little bit of a culture change for him. So I think there's something at work with David Price. I've kind of felt all along that if David Price actually goes on the market, that it'll be the Dodgers or the Yankees that end up trading for him for that expressed reason. But it's certainly, you know, it's been an interesting trade deadline, because we've seen so many strategic moves already made, and the deadline isn't until Friday. The non-waiver trade deadline isn't until Friday. But so that's the latest. Michael Morris and Matt Latos going to the Dodgers. That addresses some of the Dodgers' starting pitching concerns. And, you know, we'll stay on top of the other deals. And by the way, Jeremy Wales wrote in. This is an interesting thought, Jeremy, and on Twitter. It's an interesting thought. I have to admit, I haven't spoken to anybody about it. He asked if there was any chance of Dalton Pompey coming up and leading off with Devin Travis hurt. Maybe. I mean, certainly the skill set is there insofar as speed, athleticism, and that. It's a big ask, though, for a rookie to come up and the Batista
hamstring problem, that may further that along quicker than the Blue Jays wanted it to. You know, it's, to me, the Reyes, you know, if you get a guy like Troy Tulowitzki, it makes a lot of sense, because it gives you that stability for the next 3 years or 4 years. And the Reyes leading off thing, they're going to miss that. They're going to miss that energy and what he brings with the attitude and just getting everybody fired up on that side. Maybe not the whole entire game, but the leading off, getting on base, stealing the base, that's going to be a big miss. And you have to figure that out if you're Alex Anthopoulos. Who is going to do that? And if Dalton Pompey can figure out his swing and not take his at-bat to the field, that may be a good option.
That is, in fact, I mean, that's, with yesterday's deal, the one thing that Alex has left himself with is a pretty sizable hole in the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
And not just this year, because as long as Reyes was here, it stood to reason that Reyes was going to be the leadoff hitter. So that's created a bit of an opening there. Now, you can address that in the offseason. And the Jays are going to have, I mean, if you look at things right now, they'll probably, if you look at this lineup, there are probably two options for a leadoff hitter going into next year. Devin Travis is your starting second baseman and leading off, or whoever is in that other outfield spot leading off. We can assume that, barring a trade or something unforeseen, Jose Bautista and Kevin Pillar will be two of the three outfielders. Now you got Michael Saunders. Michael Saunders, I don't know if I want him in the leadoff spot. You know, we may be looking at a situation, Kevin, where there really isn't. There really isn't a pure leadoff hitter in this team.
I think it has to be a guy that does not platoon. It has to be a guy that's established.
I agree totally.
An older guy, preferably left-handed, or a switch hitter that, you know, you don't have to platoon. It's something, a guy that knows how to do it as hitting the leadoff spot. And again, when you have the guys you do in the middle of your order, you need that catalyst. You need the guy that can lead off, take pitches, work counts, get on base, steal some bases, have attention paid to him instead of being paid to 2, 3, 4, 5 guys. And, you know, this is an issue. And the 8 games back may be a time now you can figure out what you're going to do in all these spots that you need help in. That Alex needs help in some spots. And obviously on the offensive side of the ball, because they are right-handed dominant, they do need a lefty to mix in somewhere in there to make that not so right-handed. Obviously, there are all-star right-handers, but still, you face that Cueto guy that throws really hard with the hard slider and can mix pitches. It's a little easier to do against a right-handed dominant lineup. So, you know, it would help if he brings in that guy that's, say, a left fielder that can, like a Dalton Pompey. Now, has he done enough to figure his swing out to know, you know, again, Dalton Pompey left here because of what he was doing from the shoulders up. It just, you know, he was carrying things over.
Right.
From the plate to the field, because he's a young guy.
That news conference where, you know, he essentially had the deer in the headlights look.
Sure.
One of the things that Alex Anthopoulos and John Gibbons were very clear about, when you asked them what would it take for you to send one of those guys down to the minors, they said, well, the sense that he may look overmatched, or he may in fact be overmatched, and in some ways they're one and the same. And I think the Blue Jays looked at Dalton Pompey and saw a guy who was danger of being overmatched. The Jays, by the way, did lose 3-2 to Philadelphia last night. Game two goes tonight. It'll be Jerome Williams on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. R.A. Dickey on the mound for the Blue Jays. We're very pleased at this time to be joined in Baseball Central by the pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays, Pete Walker. Hello, Pete.
Hey, Walk.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Obviously, we're talking a lot about the trade deadline. It's a hectic time. As a pitching coach, were there kind of mixed emotions yesterday? You're getting Troy Tulowitzki, great player, a guy who's going to be the team's shortstop in the immediate future and also the distant future. But at the same time, Pete, I think a lot of people would say the Jays need starting pitching. Was it a little kind of mixed feelings for you?
Yeah, you know what? Not really. I know Alex is, honestly, we have conversations and as a staff, we know he's doing everything he can. It takes two to tango, and the other team has to be willing to listen as well. And it's a tough situation to be in. I'm not envious of him, having to make these decisions. They're very difficult decisions, when you're talking about prospects and guys for the future, for a pitcher in return, maybe for the short term. So it's difficult. And, I totally understand where he's coming from, and we have discussions. And like I said, the staff does as well. He had an opportunity to get Tulowitzki, and I was real excited about that. Obviously it'd be great to get a pitcher, but if we don't, like I've said, these are the guys we have, and we're going to work our tails off to find a way to get it done.
We all know that LaTroy Hawkins came here. There's a couple questions, actually. Do you know him on a personal level? And tell me what you think he can bring to a young a bullpen like the Blue Jays have.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. What a tremendous individual. I've never met him. I've played against him, obviously, and seen him from a distance and watched him work. And obviously, he's been in just about every situation possible. He's been pitching for a long time. He actually broke in 1995, the same year that I got an opportunity with New York Mets. So, and he's still doing it. So it's a testament to his work ethic, the way he does things. And obviously, he's still got the stuff to pitch at the major league level. But he's special. There's no doubt. I'm looking forward to getting to know him. I think the other pitchers will, gain a lot from being around him. And, the young guys especially have seen him work, he goes about his business. And you just saw last night, traveling. He was up a couple times the night before with the Rockies, traveling, comes in, and he wants to pitch the first night in just to get his feet wet. So, he's special, there's no doubt. And I think he adds something to that bullpen. He's got the inexperience down there, and especially pitching late in the season and in real crucial games. So hopefully he's really going to impact those guys.
In conversation with Pete Walker, pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays. Pete, how important could a guy like LaTroy be to Roberto Osuna or Aaron Sanchez? And, I don't want to get into the whole, are they going to be starters next year or relievers, but there's a chance, I would presume, that one of them is a reliever. And how important will he be to them in terms of just the culture he might be able to create in the bullpen and some of the words he may be able to pass on to them?
Yeah, I don't know really what kind of leader he is yet. I really don't know. But I, from what I understand, it's more of an example. I'm sure he's going to talk to those guys and voice his opinion. But I think, I think you learn the most just by watching sometimes and seeing how veteran players go about their business and do their job. Every once in a while, you might get a reminder, a slap, so to speak. But, for the most part, I think you see how those guys go about their business and you learn visually by seeing them day in and day out. And I think that goes a long way. When you have older guys that maybe aren't doing the right thing and not going about their business the right way, it can have a negative impact, obviously. And someone like LaTroy, who seems to do everything the right way, can only have a positive impact. And Roberto, Roberto's 20 years old. You talk about experience, there is none. I know he pitched in the Mexican League and everything else, but he's been tremendous up to this point. The games are only going to get tighter down through the end. And obviously to have a sounding board like with Troy to talk to or to be around is going to really benefit him and Aaron as well. Both these guys. Talk about a lack of experience, but, they step up and they have tremendous stuff and they certainly look confident enough to do the job.
Walk, we talk about Drew Hutchison all the time. It's, his splits between home and road, and one year it's one thing, the next year it's the other. But the last time I talked to you, you said it was very important that he add another pitch like the changeup. We've seen him throw it the last couple of starts to take away, I'm assuming, having a real tough time throwing the slider.
Way to go, Barker.
Nice going.
That's your fault.
It's my loving voice that just everybody wants to hang up on.
We'll attempt to get Pete Walker back.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
A couple of people on Twitter saying, you know, yeah, more talk about veterans. Loop and Cecil are doing such a great job carrying Schulte and Osuna. All we're saying is I got to tell you, there's a little difference between Brett Cecil and a guy who's been in the majors for 21 years, pitched for 11 different teams. And LaTroy Hawkins does have the reputation of a guy who, and teams like Minnesota, he was an acknowledged leader. And when you talk about leader, I'm talking about guys that kind of step up and kind of not rule the clubhouse, but can govern clubhouse life. We're rejoined by Pete Walker, pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays. Continue your thoughts, Pete.
Sorry about that, Walk. That was all me. But I was just asking about Drew Hutchison and adding the changeup. Yeah. How big of a deal is that for him?
Yeah, I think it is a big deal. I mean, I think, you know, when you talk about pitchability, it's not just stuff. It's not just having the fastball and the overpowering slider at times. You know, it's being able to change speeds. And he recognizes that. And, you know, we've incorporated it more. Both Navi and Russ are aware that they need to use it. And it's a pitch that maybe, you know, the more he uses it, the less pinpoint he has to be with his fastball. So, you know, as well as anybody, if the fastball command isn't there, it's difficult to pitch at the major level with just a fastball slider combo. Mm-hmm. So, he's relatively young. I hate saying that, but he's still learning. Every side session we seem to be working on something and trying to get that consistency. He certainly has it at home, and on the road it's been a nightmare at times. The innings seem to unravel. So, you know, we're still hopeful that he's going to get hot here. And, obviously his next three or four starts are at home, which is good to get him rolling, and we anticipate that carrying over into the road games eventually.
Pete, have you seen anything like this? I mean, we see guys with weird splits, whether it's home road or daytime, nighttime, and a lot of times you just kind of roll our eyes. But it's not that Drew doesn't work hard. He's a bright guy. Right. I don't know. I don't know if he's a stubborn guy. It doesn't strike me as being that way. Have you seen this with a guy? And we're not talking a guy who's in his first year. I mean, I know he's not an old. Yeah. He's not an old guy. Right. But this isn't his first go around.
No, I agree. It's very unusual. There's no doubt about it. And you know, obviously, as much as you say you just wanted to play itself out, you're still trying to figure out why. And you're looking at different possibilities. You know, I'm not a huge statistical guy when it comes to certain things, but when you look at certain stats that have, you know, been brought to my attention and looking at him, you know, the XFIP and the FIP and the balls in play numbers, he should be having a better year than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's given up a lot of soft contact hits. And, you know, you hate to say it's luck because you get tired of hearing that. I've said it early in the season, but we're in, you know, the end of July, and they're still using the term luck, so it doesn't really carry much weight as far as I'm concerned. But it seems like he's been a victim at certain times. Aaron Loop is kind of in the same boat. You know, soft contact hits, and it just eventually you say, well, it's got to even out, but it hasn't. And you still got to find a way to get outs, and you still got to find a way to make better pitches. So I think both of them are, you know, as much as it's been soft contact hits and some damage, which unraveled and led to bigger innings and then give up the long ball, the big double, they still have to execute pitches better in certain situations. And I think that's really what it comes down to with the two of them, Loop as well, executing their pitches in key situations and find a way to get out of that jam.
Pete, how difficult a job does the manager and the coaching staff have at this time of year near the trade rumor with guys moving? I mean, everybody, every time you go on Twitter now, somebody's being traded. How difficult is it kind of keeping the attention where it needs to be, keeping the focus where it needs to be?
I don't think it's difficult at all, really. I mean, you definitely hear the rumors, but there's a job to do every day. You come to the park, and your staff is your staff, your pitchers, your bullpen guys, your starting rotation. You're working with those guys exclusively, and it doesn't matter if you think something might happen or if you think there might be changes coming or, you know, there are rumors that are going around. It doesn't change the attention the detail and what you need to do on a daily basis. And I haven't, honestly, this is the truth. The pitching staff from day one, we've said, you know, we're going to find a way to get it done with the guys we have in here. We still feel that way. You know, if something does happen, great. But if it doesn't, then, you know, I certainly think that, you know, Drew Hutchison is capable. And I think Marco Estrada has and Mark Burley and Ari Dickey can win ball games with this offense. So, you know, in our bullpen, you know, the additional LaTroy and what we have is capable. So, you know, it's really, it's not my place. It's you know, I would never second guess management, that's for sure. I come in and do my job every day, and I think the players do too. So I don't think you'll hear rumblings or you see it, especially in the clubhouse, guys. You know, guys might know where we're a little deficient, but you know, it's still your teammates, it's still your players, and you do everything you can to win with them.
Walk, is there, not to give away any trade secrets, I don't want you to do that, but you speak of bad luck, and we watch R.A. Dickey pitch, and he's had some really, really bad luck with the, you know, the blue pits and the swinging bunts and all of those things, and the pass balls on occasion just because it's hard to catch.
Sure.
Not to give away too much, but what would the conversation be with R.A. Dickey after an outing like that? Because mechanically, you don't throw a knuckleball, and there's not a whole lot of people do. I'm sure that conversation doesn't go mechanical. Is there anything you can say to him to keep morale up?
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, there were some mechanical things, and there's some things that really have made a difference that he's worked on, I think, and it really has brought the action on the knuckleball better. You know, he does a lot of things like a traditional pitcher does, so sometimes there is the mechanical end, but you know, from just a confidence standpoint, you know, there's a former Cy Young Award winner going through a tough time. You want to continue to positively reinforce and keep them going in the right direction, because no matter how good you have been or how good you are, you know, when you stumble a little bit, it's difficult. So, you know, we have a great relationship. He's an extremely hard worker, he's extremely disciplined. You know, there has been some bad breaks, but he's been around. I mean, he doesn't really let it get to him as much as it, you know, frustrates him a little bit, but he doesn't let it get to him where it gets in the way of his pitching and what he needs to do. But, you know, there are certain mechanical things that he's made some adjustments that I think and he thinks have made a pretty good, effect on him. Mm-hmm. So I think going forward, you've seen a pretty good knuckleball from him over the last, 5 or 6 weeks, and I think it's going to continue throughout the summer.
Pete, it was great of you to join us today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pete.
You got it, guys. Great talking to you.
Take care. That's Pete Walker, pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays back at it tonight against the Philadelphia Phillies. Jerome Williams for the Phillies, R.A. Dickey for the Jays. Jays go into tonight's game 8 back of the New York Yankees. And as he looks down the wild card, 4.5 back of L.A. and Houston in the wild card standings. Or 4 back. 4.5 back in the wild card standings. Couple of programming notes for today. The NHL will be holding a news conference at Gillette Stadium at 2 o'clock to announce the details and unveil logos for the Winter Classic. We'll go live to that news conference on Sportsnet 360 at 2 p.m. The Jays are introducing Troy Tulowitzki at a news conference today at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time at the Rogers Center. Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn will host our live coverage of the news conference on Sportsnet 360. It'll be simulcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.ca. Greg Brady of Brady and Walker will be overseeing the simulcast of that particular news conference. And we do have two games this afternoon, two MLB games, Detroit at Tampa. That's already ongoing. That's on all four regional channels. And the Rockies and the Cubs at 2 p.m. on Sportsnet 1. First pitch is 2:20. Jose Reyes is in the starting lineup for the Colorado Rockies. So if you want to see Jose Reyes in a Rockies uniform, 2 o'clock, 2:20 first pitch on Sportsnet 1, the Rockies and the Cubs. And there you go. And tonight's game, of course, as all Jays games, will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet East Ontario, West, and Pacific. First pitch at 7 o'clock. Blue Jay Central live at 6:30 with Campbell and Zahn on the four Sportsnet regional channels. And I'm out of breath. Not really. We're continuing to solicit a Twitter handle for Kevin Barker. We got some good ones. We'll tell you what they are at the end of the show. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Jose Bautista's reaction to the Jose Reyes deal. You probably saw the scrum or the interview Jose Bautista did before the game. He felt that his opinions, he felt in some cases that his body language were misinterpreted, so much so that he took to Twitter to clarify. We're going to talk about that. Did the media get it wrong with Jose Bautista yesterday? It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. Lots of baseball ahead this afternoon. Again, just to get you caught up to date on it, 2:30. Troy Tulowitzki's introductory news conference. That'll be carried live on Sportsnet 360, as well as Sportsnet.ca and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Jamie Campbell, and Greg Zahn will host our live coverage of the news conference. Two major league games, one right now, Detroit and Tampa. On all four regional channels, and the Rockies and the Cubs at 2 p.m. in Sportsnet 1. Jose Reyes is starting and batting second for the Colorado Rockies against the Chicago Cubs. The Blue Jays, with R.A. Dickey on the mound, will meet the Philadelphia Phillies and Jerome Williams tonight. 7 o'clock, first pitch in Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Sportsnet regional channels. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Kansas City Royals come into town. These are the pitching matchups. Danny Duffy against Marco Estrada on Thursday. Friday, the day of the Major League Baseball non-waiver trade deadline. Johnny Cueto on the mound for Kansas City. Drew Hutchison for the Blue Jays. Saturday, Yordano Ventura against Mark Burley. Sunday, Edinson Volquez against Felix DuBrant. Although I'm going to make a bold prediction here that Felix DuBrant has made his last start for the Toronto Blue Jays, and that somebody else will be making that start on Sunday. So yesterday, of course, you know that Troy Tulowitzki and LaTroy Hawkins were acquired from the Colorado Rockies for Jose Reyes, Jeff Hoffman, Miguel Castro, another pitching prospect, Jesus Tinoco. You know, of course, that Jose Reyes was very popular in the Blue Jays clubhouse, not just with the Latino players, but was a very popular guy. Brought a lot of energy. Some of the stuff that drived fans nuts, you know, the willingness to smile. I can't believe we're criticizing a guy because he smiled so much, but the willingness to smile, the way he was in the field, some of the stuff that drove fans nuts because the team was losing, really endeared him to his teammates. Something happened yesterday. Understandably, Jose Bautista would be one of the Blue Jays players that the media would want to talk to. This was Jose Bautista's answer to a question yesterday. We're going to play it. We're going to show it for those of you on TV as well. And then we're going to show a tweet that he sent out this morning or late last night as a result of what he thought was a misinterpretation of his statements. So this, first of all, is Jose Bautista.
So, I mean, if you want to look at a pure baseball move, I think there's upgrades in different areas. Maybe not necessarily what we need, but it is an upgrade if you want to look at it that way. Yeah.
Okay, now that was Jose Bautista's comment. And, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind. Jose Bautista was outspoken last year when Alex Anthopoulos didn't make a move. Jose Bautista, very close to Jose Reyes. Mm-hmm. I think people expected Jose Bautista to come out and say, "Hey, this is awesome. This is awesome. We've got Troy Tulowitzki. We've upgraded at shortstop." He kind of suggested that. He kind of suggested it was an upgrade, but then he went on and essentially said he wasn't certain that it was necessarily what the team needed. And what he's talking about is what the team needed to get to the playoffs. And people, I got to tell you this. He's 100% right.
Yeah,
That doesn't mean it's a bad move. That doesn't mean Jose Bautista's sitting there saying it's a crap move. He's right. It's a good move for the Blue Jays. Does it get him any closer to the playoffs this year? Probably not. Does Alex still have time to make a move that addresses the pitching issue? Yes, he does. So anyhow, that's how I took Jose Bautista's reaction. A lot of people looked at it, wondered about his body language. And Jose Bautista felt that his comments were misinterpreted. This is what he said on Twitter last night and this morning. Tough loss tonight. No, this is about the injury. Tough loss tonight. On to the next one. For those of you who actually care, it was just a cramp. I expect to be in there tomorrow. There was a comment he made about the media on Twitter. Here it is. For the ones playing psychologist over my comments regarding trade, how about this? Understand what people try to say. Don't let the media manipulate you. That was Jose Bautista on Twitter. Also clearing up, I should say, the status of his injury, because I think a lot of people suspected the worst last night and figured he'd blown his hamstring out or something like that. He was saying, no, it's just a cramp. We'll wait and see if he's in the lineup today. But Jose Bautista clearly feeling, either somebody told him or he saw some of the coverage or read some of the coverage or heard some of the coverage, Kevin, clearly feeling that his statements had been misinterpreted by people. You've been around clubhouses. You've been around players. You've seen guys traded. How did you read Jose Bautista's comments?
I didn't read anything into it. I think he had a friend that got traded. He was disappointed about it. He seemed a little confused that it wasn't a pitcher, basically saying we don't need a shortstop. We need pitching to get us to the playoffs. And it's exactly what you said. It's exactly right. To me, that's there's nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes we criticize people for just being honest. Now, he sort of went around the honest thing, but everything he said was true. It's not, he wasn't lying. He was telling exactly how he felt. And that's a little bit of a breath of fresh air, I think, to hear a superstar just come out and say, basically, I'm going to miss my friend. Being a baseball move, maybe it makes a little bit of sense, but I don't think that's exactly what we needed. Hey, everything he said's true. He covered all of his bases. And he felt like later on that it was, you know, he may have misspoken or said it the wrong way. He came out and said it this way. And it's, you know, it's, I think it's, you, sometimes you just read into things you shouldn't be reading into. And it's, if Kevin Pillar would have said it, we wouldn't be having this conversation, but it's Jose Bautista. And on occasion, he says things that, you know, on occasion that you scratch your head about, but this is nice. This is a breath. To me, it's a breath of fresh air being a fan of baseball and just hearing a superstar come out and basically say, I'm going to miss my friend. I'm not really understanding why we went out and got one of the best shortstops because we got a pretty good one. And we need pitching to get us to the next level. That's basically what he said.
Yeah. And
got no issues with that.
No. And I saw it the same way. It would have been, I guess it would have been nice if he'd kind of ginned it up a bit.
Maybe taking Alex's back and saying that's, you know, that's what we want from Alex is to get the best players in here. Maybe that was a better way to go about it. But
he was really saying what the rest of us were saying. And Shai Davidi made the point. A move like this suggests to you that there's probably another follow-up move. And the other thing, the most important takeaway from yesterday's news conference with Alex Anthopoulos, and he mentioned this again in an interview I did with him in primetime, this was not a trade deadline deal. This is a deal that happened to be made near the trade deadline. This is a deal that he first spoke to the Rockies about in the winter. This is a deal that they revisited in May. As Alex said, I make that deal on October 30th, November 30th, New Year's Day, Christmas Day, tomorrow, yesterday, 3 months ago, this is a deal I make. So I think you got to move beyond looking at this as a trade deadline acquisition. I mean, if you want to get down to it, as far as what the Blue Jays need right now, the biggest net gain
was pitching. And until they fix it, it's going to be this 50 and 50, 50 and 51. And, you know, obviously they have the best offense in baseball and they're under 500. You're going to need pitching to get where you want to be. And, of course, it always helps you have the best players playing every day.
Right.
Again, you still need better pitching.
Want to talk about a play that happened last night. It kind of started the inning that was the undoing of Felix Dubront and the Toronto Blue Jays. It was a ball that it was hit off the thigh of Ryan Howard. Let's show it for people on TV. And do we have the clip? Okay. But essentially, and the problem with it is, well, he shouldn't have been allowed to go to first base.
No chance. Right there it is.
Here it is. And to me, it was obvious. And I'm watching it's it in easy. TV. And Felix Dubront immediately points. It's off the left hip just above the knee. Dubront immediately points to him. And so do the catcher. The home plate umpire And this is where it's kind of odd. The home plate umpire didn't get the call right.
No.
Which happens. But I was surprised that he didn't call in
the
rest of the crew to try to come to, you know, try to get the call right. I've got to think one of the other umpires saw that. Now, Joe West comes in. John Gibbons came out to argue the call or came out to talk about the call. It's not a reviewable play, which in itself
terrible.
Is kind of odd.
It's terrible. It,
you know, and we've talked about this. The video review in baseball is you know, it's being tinkered with all the time. And I would imagine, frankly, I would imagine that play will become a reviewable play at some point. The problem I had and the problem John Gibbons had is that there was no move made to call the umpires together. And you know, Joe West, the crew chief, comes in to talk to John Gibbons. Well, if you've already got the crew chief in here,
yeah.
This is what I don't understand. If you get the crew together and the crew says, you know, no, we didn't see it any differently, mm-hmm. Well, then everybody screwed up. But at least if you're John Gibbons, you can say, all right, we hate it the way it happened. We don't like the outcome. We don't agree with it. But the process was followed mm-hmm. through. Now you can't even say that. Well, and I just found it, and Rob Drake's not a bad umpire. I found it really remarkable.
Why can't Joe West go, hey, it's close enough that that John Gibbons comes out and yells at somebody. Why don't we go take it upon ourselves to call timeout and go and maybe review it that way?
It's not a reviewable play.
That's a change that needs to be made. So it has to be a time thing because that's why everything's not reviewable. Has everything to do with time. You want the game to go quicker, be in sync. That's why you can't review absolutely everything. Well, the ultimate goal is in baseball, because of instant replay, is to get everything right.
Well, as much as you can.
Well,
right.
This is a no-brainer to me. It looks to me more like an ego kind of thing from umpires. Now, it gets back to what do you think about umpires? Well, to me, this looks more like an ego thing. Why they didn't? Joe West comes out. Everybody says good things about Joe West. We all know that. Mm-hmm. So it gets back to me being an ego thing, and they need to fix that sooner than later.
I asked you on Twitter before the show for Twitter handle for Kevin Barker. Now, I can't guarantee that Barker's going to go on Twitter. I'm trying to get him on Twitter. I don't think it's going to happen.
Boy.
But I thought we'd go through some of the Twitter handles we've come up with for Kevin Barker. I think we all agree that Northbound and Down is probably the clubhouse leader. From my point of view, we have Barker's Bites. Randy Brock says, my point being...
Right.
We've got several Get the Head Out.
That's a good one.
Let It Eat from our own Rob Wong, which was pretty good. Let It Eat is a vintage Barkerism.
I like it.
10-4, good buddy.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. Anything Better Than Hayhurst, a personal favorite. Well, I mean, the guy sent it in.
I can't comment. I don't know that person.
The guy sent it in. I'm going to read it. The Drawl. Figure It Out. And another one that got a lot of support, Knows More About Baseball Than You Do, which was directed at me. My response to that was, enjoy this block. So there you go. Barker goes yard. That's kind of standard. Mm-hmm. Cameron Tobin. I think we've got two finalists here. I think we agree Northbound and Down, number one.
That's a good one.
Cameron Tobin, his Twitter handle, I played with him in winter ball. That is solid. That's solid. I played with him in winter ball, and you did play with everybody. You played
everybody.
With Jesus in winter ball.
Maybe.
Okay, well, I know you played with Jesus in winter ball. Anyhow, I played with him in winter ball, and the other one that I just forgot. I played with him in winter ball.
Northbound and Down.
Northbound and Down. Those are the two finalists, so we'll continue to solicit Twitter handles for Kevin Barker.
Thank you for that.
And in a couple of days, we'll pick one. But again, Northbound and Down, and I played with him in winter ball, the two leaders, for Kevin Barker's Twitter handle. Have a great day, everybody. Don't forget, Tulowitzki News Conference. Greg Brady will walk you through it. Jays and Phillies tonight for Pete Walker. Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Baseball Central.